Good morning. So in this week's Parsha, the Pasuk begins, the first Pasuk in this week's Parsha, Acharimos, Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Acharimos, Shnei Bnei Aaron, Bekarvam Lefnei Hashem Vayamesu. And Hashem speaks to Moshe after the death of Aaron's two sons, when they approached before Hashem and they died. So we begin the Parsha referencing an incident that happened during the Mishkan's inauguration ceremony, back in Parsha Shmini. And there, in Parsha Shmini, Perek Yud, Pasuk Psukim Aleph through Gimel, the Pasuk tells us, Vayikchu b'nei Aaron nadav aviyu, ish machteu, vayitnu bahen eish, vayisimu olek toris, vayikrivu lefnei Hashem, eish zara asher lo tiva osam. So what happens? The sons of Aaron, namely Nadav and Aviyu, they each take their fire pan, and they put fire in it, and they place the ketores, the incense upon it, and they brought it before Hashem in what we call an Eish Zara, an alien fire, that had not been commanded them. And what happens? A fire comes out before Hashem, and it consumed them, and they died before Hashem. So we have the two sons of the Kohen, of Aaron, Nadav and Aviyu. They're dramatically killed in an episode that happens in the middle of the inauguration of the Mishkan. This exciting event, they're about to start having a Mishkan, inaugurating it, Hashem's Shechina is going to rest in it, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Bet tells us what happens, that they brought this fire, and a heavenly fire flashed out of the Kodesh Kedashim, and it cleaned their lives while leaving their bodies intact. And although the Torah does refer to this, the offering of this Eish Zara, this strange fire, Asher Lo Tziva Osam, which was not commanded to them, the underlying reason of the death of Nadav and Avihu, the cause of this punishment seems somewhat obscure, because in contrast with the Torah's brief presentation of this incident, these three psukim, we have the Medrash and Vayikra Rabbah, which elaborates 12 distinct explanations for the death of Nadav and Aviyu. The possibilities include having entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim, being intoxicated at the time of the service of their offering, or having delivered a halachic ruling in front of their teacher Moshe. So what was the sin of Nadav and Aviyu? What was the cause of their death? What went wrong? And the Chidushei Arim explains the answer actually as being clearly stated in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Vayikrivu lefnei Hashem eish zara, asher lo tziva osam. They brought before God a foreign fire, which had not been commanded to them. And the Chidushei Arim writes, Ikara koach vakdusha sheyesh b'masa mitzvah shel ha'adam, hu'ach v'rak asher na'aseh mikoach tzivoy Hashem. He says, when we do an act, what gives the act power? What gives it kedusha? What gives it that sanctity? It's only ach v'rak when it's done from a tzivoy of Hashem, when it's done based on a commandment from God. Lefichach gam im yaseh adam maaseh norah v'nisgav ayidei sheyasig v'yavin besoros hatorah v'tameh mikol makom ein b'kach kol kedusha ki chasar kan tzivoy Hashem. He says, what if a person, it's based on this, even if a person would know, you know, reasons, the sodot, the secrets, and the reasons behind an action, right? And he would do something amazing that would go to those actual deep reasons that the Torah might have. Nevertheless, there's no sanctity, there's no kedusha in this action. Why? Because it's chasar tzivoy Hashem. It's lacking the commandments of God. So even if a person has the intentions and he knows the sozos, the secrets behind what God wants, nevertheless, if it's lacking the tzivoy Hashem, it lacks the kedusha. Hinei nadav aviyu, shnei bnei Aaron, tzadikim gedolim hayu, ve'et kol ma'aseihem asu l'shem shemayim, u'b'chol zos, chataim Chatam hagadol haya al ki b'maaseh she'asu haya chasar tzivoy Hashem. V'zeu she'ne'amar v'ayikriv l'vnei Hashem eish zara asher lo tziva osam. She'aperish b'zehu she'haya eish zara. V'lama ki asher lo tziva osam. And he says, you know, we think of the story, oh, we have these two sons of Aaron, so they probably didn't know so much. They weren't so great. They did something. And it was totally inappropriate. But what is the Chidush HaYerim telling us? No. They were tzaddik and gedolim. They were exceedingly righteous people. And all of their actions were l'shem shemayim. They had the right intentions when they went and they did this. But what was the problem? It was lacking the tzivui Hashem. Like the pasuk tells us, they brought this esh zarah, this foreign fire. What was foreign about this fire? The fact that it wasn't commanded from Hashem. That they did it out of their own will. They decided to do this. And that was the problem. They had the right intentions, but they didn't follow the protocol. They didn't follow the tzivoy Hashem. The Netziv in his Ha'imak Davar, he explains, what was this esh zara? What was this foreign fire? And he writes, "Shenechnesu me'esh hislavus shel avas Hashem, v'amra Torah da'af agav da'avas Hashem yikara yibeinei Hashem, aval lo b'zeh aderach asher lo tziva." He said, what was this foreign fire? This foreign fire was the fire of love, of excitement that burned inside of them, inside of Nadav and Avihu. And even though such a love of Hashem is precious, but it's not when it's done in a way that God did not command. Not when it expresses in it itself in a way that's beyond the commandments of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so Nadav and Avihu were tzaddikim, and they had a deep, intense love towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu that sought to express itself. They genuinely wanted to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And though their intentions were correct, they acted in a way which was not commanded, and therefore they were punished. They were righteous people, period. And in order to make this clear, every time the Torah mentions the names of Nadav and Avihu, it tells us next to that, that they died because of the Esh Zara, the unauthorized fire offering. The Torah was concerned that people might begin to attribute all other kinds of failings, the other things that they might have done wrong, to Nadav and Avihu. Therefore, according to the Yalkut Shimoni, the Torah repeats several times that the death resulted solely from the Esh Zara, from the unauthorized fire offering. They were righteous people, and they were not guilty of other misdeeds. It was in this one thing that they messed up, that they slipped up. In fact, even the mistake stemmed from a good place. The desire to offer the Esh Zara stemmed from what? From an unquenchable thirst for a greater level of Avas Hashem. This led Nadav and Avihu to cross boundaries of Halacha and to bring an unauthorized Ketores. So the whole purpose of what they wanted to attain and what they wanted to achieve was a greater level of Avas Hashem. They just wanted to connect. They wanted to become close because they were tzaddikim and they had righteous intentions. The problem was is that they stepped out of the boundaries, that they did something asher lo tziva. They did something which was not commanded, and that was the problem. That was the cause of their death. According to the Netziv, a similar mistake was made by the 250 men in the story of Korach. Now, we always think about the machlokas of Korach. We have Korach, Dathan and Aviram, and the 250 men, and we kind of all group them together. This group of people versus Moshe, right? But the Netziv says that really these 250 people were in a different category as Korach and Dathan and Aviram. They approached this machlokas with a different thought and a different attitude and a different approach. And we see this most clearly in the punishment that they received. While Korach and his family were swallowed up by the earth, the 250 people were consumed by a heavenly fire. And the Netziv writes, Al Kain Yesh Lahavin Sheresh Nun Ish Hayu Be'emes Gedola Yisrael B'chol Prat Gam B'Yiras Hashem. That you should know that the 250 people were Gedola Yisrael. They were the leaders. They were the greatest of the great. Not only in everything, including in Yiras Hashem, v'ayam minias haguna shahu goreim dveikus v'avas Hashem ke'esh bo'er b'kerbam. The fact that they were not able to do the avoda of the kahuna was, they felt prevented them from a greater level of closeness of dveikus and of avas Hashem, of love for God. It was a fire that burned inside of them. Well, the goal of the 250 people was not to get rulership, to get honor, like other people, like maybe Korach or Dathan and Aviram. But what did they want? They wanted to be able to attain this greater level of closeness to God through the avoda. V'gam hema yodu asher devar Hashem emes b'fi Moshe v'ein la'arach harav chas v'shalom. They knew that what Moshe said was true. They didn't doubt Moshe for one second. Rak herhu b'libam achar riton Hashem u'masru atzmam l'smesiras nefesh b'lamavas al avas Hashem ki aza kamavas ava. But rather, they so wanted to become close with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They so wanted this opportunity that they were ready and willing to give their lives, which is exactly what happened, in order to come to this greater level of Ava. And he quotes the Pasuk of Inshirim, Ki Aza Kamaves Ava, that love is as strong as desire for love is can be as strong and as intense as death. And that's exactly what happened in this situation. They were tzaddikim. They weren't looking to question Moshe or to doubt them what Moshe was saying correct, but they so deeply wanted to have that opportunity to connect with God and to become close with Him that they were literally willing to give their lives. V'zeh mikrei ha-chata'im ha'elo b'nafshosam. Shebikshu la'abed es nafshosam, rak la'siv ma'alas ha'ava v'achasidus, ba'ofen she'enu l'fi ha'ratzon mimeno yiparach shemo. They so wanted this level of avas Hashem that they would be able to achieve through the avoda, through bringing the ketores, even though they knew that the results were not going to be good. They knew that the word of Moshe was going to be miskayim, that was going to happen. And they were willing to literally give their lives, to put their lives on the line. They knew that they were going to die in order to get this. And this was the problem, that they wanted to become close in a way that wasn't God's will. And he says that it's for this reason that this parsha is next to the parsha of Tzitzis and Tcheles. That we're talking, and he says that the Hasidim, we're not talking about people who wear a different garb, but the Hasidim, those who are exceedingly righteous, need to remember the Tcheles, which remember reminds us, what does Tcheles remind us of? The blue reminds us of the sea, which reminds us of the Shemayim, which reminds us of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We always have to remember in our quest to become righteous and to become close to God, that we need to remember what Hashem wants. We need to remember to follow the protocol. And that, it was in this way that the 250 people strayed, and therefore, what happened to them, which was that they were burned alive. Which is interesting. It's the same punishment that befell Nadav and Avihu, which according to the Netziv was the same sin. They both desperately wanted to become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they took steps beyond the protocol, outside Torah and mitzvos, outside of halacha. They were smart people. They knew that they couldn't just walk into the Mishkan with their pans and bring the ketores. Why? The Leviim were there guarding. The Leviim were not going to allow a stranger, meaning someone who was not fit for the avodah, to come in and do it. And therefore they knew they had to find a different way. Lefrotz geder. What was that? To make a machlokes. Kizaya halichos reishnan ish. Ubishvil shemikomakom kivnu l'shem shamayim mishum hachinen shu b'sreifa b'eishe yatsa mikodesh kedashim. V'yabaza inyan gamkein kemoshe b'yivayar v'yisrael nitztaru harbe al Mosam kimivuar laalan lo kein dasan vayir and hamam rechokim mitayva elyonazu ki im shayu b'teva baalei machlokes v'soni Moshe od mitzrayim. And he says, because this was the way of the Reishnan people, of the 250 men, that their goal was what? To become close. Therefore, they had a different punishment. Their punishment was the fire came out of the Kodesh HaKodeshim and burned them. And therefore, the Torah tells us that Bnei Yisrael were mitztaer. They were pained. They were saddened over the death of these 250 people. Because these 250 people were tzaddikim. They were the leaders, which was not the case with Dasan and Aviron. They didn't have this Tivel Yona. They didn't have this higher desire to become close to God. What was the purpose of the Machlokas according to Dasan and Aviron? They were rabble-rousers. They didn't like Moshe. They were Bali Machlokas. They liked to challenge. They liked to make problems. We see that even in Mitzrayim. Amnam Korach, be'emes haya adam gadol, v'ra oyla tavas hareshin and ish. But Korach, on their hand, was an interesting person, because he was an Ish Gadol, he was an Adam Gadol, he was an important person, and he could have been, it was worthy of him to have this taiva, this desire to become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'kahaya nireh lefnei b'nei Adam, shezehu mevakesh gamhu. And so therefore, how did Korach present himself? Yeah, I'm just like the 250 people. I also, want to be able to achieve this closeness with God. Aval be'emes, tocholoya, the kinas hasrara achaltahu. But really, what was inside of him? This kina, this jealousy of rulership. That's what ate him up. Al kein asa maaseh areishin and ish, v'naaseh kedasan v'ayiriran. Therefore, he acted in the way of the 250 people externally. But what happened in the end? He was punished like dasan and aviran. Because what was his real motive? The same rulership, power, honor, glory, like Dasan and Aviram. So the 250 people wanted to achieve closeness with Hashem. The desire burned so strongly inside of them that they were willing to do whatever, even if they knew that it would have disastrous consequences. What they didn't realize was the way to really achieve closeness with Hashem is through His Torah and is through His mitzvos. Like the Chedushei Harim said, Ikar hakoch v'akdusha sheyesh b'maseh ha-mitzvah shel adam hu ach v'rak asher nasa mikoch tivoy Hashem. The power and the sanctity of a mitzvah is only when it's done in the fulfillment of Hashem's word. And so Hashem gives us a roadmap in order to achieve Dveikus, in order to achieve closeness with Him. It's through His mitzvos. There may be times where we feel acting in such a way will bring us close, but if it's not done within the framework of the Torah and the Halacha, it will not achieve that goal. So just to recap, we have the story of Nadav and Avihu. The Torah tells us, we said it's not very much about them. They brought this Eish Zara and they were consumed by a heavenly fire. But according to what we read in the Chiddush HaYarim, what was the problem? Asher lo tziva, that it was not commanded. Because they were really righteous. Their sin had good intentions. They wanted to become close with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They wanted to achieve this level of Dveikus that they could through the Avoza. The problem was it wasn't commanded to them, and therefore they were killed. And the same happened with the 250 people in the Machlokas of Korach. They weren't in the same category as Korach, who wanted power, or Dasan and Aviram, who were rabble-rousers. They desperately wanted to become close with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The passion, the desire burned so strongly in them. We said, Ava Kamaves Ava, that the strong passion for love can be as strong as death, that they were willing to give their lives. They knew there was nothing to question about Moshe Rabbeinu, that he was right. But they so wanted this way to become close to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Avoda, through the Ketoreth, that they were willing to take that step forward. But the real way to achieve closeness is what Hashem commands. It doesn't matter if we know the sodos, if we know the deep reasoning behind things. The way to approach it is the roadmap that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. And that is Torah, mitzvos, halacha. And I'll give you a mashal. If everyone knows, if a person who's close with you, perhaps your spouse, tells you all they love hiking, they love the outdoors, they dream of the Canadian Rockies and hiking through the Grand Canyon. That is what excites them. That's what they love. And if they have the opportunity, if they have a special chance, that's what they'd love to do. And you know it's something special, a special occasion. You want to do something very special for that person. So what do? You buy them tickets to a concert. And well, that might be amazing. And that might be what your neighbor enjoys, or maybe another friend. But you missed it. The person told you clearly, I like the outdoors. I like hiking. I like nature. And what do? you go and you buy them tickets for a concert. And it might be the most amazing concert. It might have been so hard for you to get those tickets. It might have been sold out. You had to pull all the strings and all the connections in the world. But you missed the point. You didn't listen what they wanted. So what do they feel like? You don't care about them. You're not paying attention to what's good for them. It's what you want, or maybe what Yenna wants, but it's certainly not what this person wants. And Hashem clearly tells us the way to come close to Him. Torah, mitzvos, halacha. You know, we live in a feel-good society. We always want to do things that make us feel good. People are constantly looking for things or skulas to make them feel spiritual or closer to God. You know, we might read Shir Shirim 40 times. You know, we're maybe very makbid on making Shlissel Challah. You know, and while those things are very nice, we sometimes overlook that being extremely careful in performing the mitzvos is really what's going to become bring us close. Or we live in a society that we're looking for other things that we're not even commanded to do. Oh, I feel spiritual. That's going to bring me close to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And so therefore, I want to wear tefillin. I'm a woman, but it makes me feel spiritual, and therefore I want to wear tefillin. But we're forgetting about all the opportunities that Hashem gave us, which are some of them are even unique to women, that He gave us to come close to Him through the Torah and the mitzvos. And that's how He wants us to come close to Him, through the things that He commanded us, which was exactly the mistake of Dasan and Aviron, not Dasan and Aviron, of Nadav and Aviu, and the Reshon and Ish. It was Asher Lo Tziva, that they did something that was not commanded. It was beyond the protocol. It was beyond the framework. There's a famous story of a woman who went to the Rav, Rav Soloveitchik, and she said to him, you know, Rav Soloveitchik, I really feel, you know, spiritual. I really want to connect to God. And I really think I'm ready to take on something else. You know, I think I'm ready to wear tzitzis. So the Rav looked at her and he said, okay, you know, but we don't want to jump into anything. Let's take baby steps. You know, first put on a beged, the four-cornered garment, and wear it for 2 weeks, and then come back to me, and then we'll see if we should take the next step. So the woman did that. She put on a four-cornered garment, and she wore it every day. She came back to the Rav 2 weeks later, and she said, you know, I felt amazing. I felt so spiritual. I felt so connected. It was gewaldig. Really, I'm ready for the next step. And the Rav turned to her, and he said, you know, you did nothing. Wearing a four-cornered garment is not a mitzvah. It's nothing. It's just wearing an extra layer. That's all you did. It was in her head. It was how she felt that she was connecting. It was for her feeling. But she didn't do anything. There was no mitzvah in her acts. The roadmap, the way we connect and come close to Hashem, it has to be within the framework that He created, through the Torah, through the halacha. And we may have the purest intentions, like Nadav and Avihu, or the 250 men in the story of Korach. We may genuinely have a thirst for a greater level of Avas Hashem, but when we cross the halachic boundaries, the results are disastrous. It's therefore during the inauguration of the Mishkan, when Bnei Yisrael are acting and doing all that was necessary in order that the Shekhinah should dwell, at that time of such a burning desire, Moshe says to them, Vayikra, Perek Tes, Pasuk Vav, Vayomer Moshe, Zeh HaDavar Asher Tziva Hashem Tasu, Vayera Aleichem Kavod. And Moshe said to Bnei Yisrael, this is the thing that Hashem, or more specifically to the Kohanim, this is the thing that Hashem commanded you to do, then the glory of Hashem will appear. Meaning, if you want to come close to Hashem, if you want His presence to rest and to dwell in the Mishkan, Zeh HaDavar Asher Tziva Hashem Ta'asu. Do that which He commanded you to do, because that is the way to achieve closeness. And the Medrash on this pasuk comments, Amar Lahem Moshe Li Yisrael, Oso Yetzer Hara Ha'aviru Milavadchan. Moshe, what was Moshe Rabbeinu saying to Bnei Yisrael at this point in time? That Yetzer Hara that you have, get rid of it from your heart. Now it seems like a strange statement at this point in time. If you look in the context, Bnei Yisrael already did what they are supposed to do. They brought everything necessary to the Mishkan, right? And now we're talking about being in the Mishkan. So what Yetzer Hara is Moshe talking about? Is there something distracting in the Mishkan? You know, is there a desire that's specific to the Mishkan, maybe to do Avodah Zarah? I don't know, is there some sort of television to watch or something to get involved with, you know, in the Mishkan? What is Moshe Rabbeinu talking about? What Yetzer Hara is he talking about in the Mishkan? And then Netziv there comments, V'anyan z'kfar haya b'yimei Moshe ki tov b'Yisrael shayu lo otim achar avas Hashem aval lo al yidei gvulim she'gvila Torah. At that point, during the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, there were already groups, kitot of people, who were going after avas Hashem, love for Hashem, but not in the typical boundaries or the way or the framework that the Torah established. V'kasher yuvar ba'orach b'parshas Korach, like we just discussed in Parshas Korach, shezeh haya ikar achet shel reishon ha'anashim, shehayu tzadikim gemurim v'chatu b'nafshosam, b'mashem masru atzmam alamisa ayidei kedusha zu la'asig avas Hashem ayidei haktores. Right, this was the mistake of the 250 people that were tzadikim gemurim during the time of Korach, that they gave their lives in order to be able to bring the ketores, in order to attain what they to do what they felt would bring them closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Afagav shelo yiyar l'ratzon kifi derech haTorah sherak Aaron ubanav yaktir. Even though this was not the ratzon haTorah, the ratzon haTorah is only that Aaron and his sons should bring the ketores. And he says, he continues, b'shvil zeh amar Moshe liYisrael ki lo kein hadavar ela otog yitzer hara ha'eviru milavavchem. Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, this is not the right way. This Yetzer Hara, remove from your hearts. Which is interesting. What is Moshe Rabbeinu calling a Yetzer Hara? This desire to become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through a different set of means. Through a steps that are outside the framework of Torah and mitzvot. That is what Moshe Rabbeinu was calling a Yetzer Hara. That is the Yetzer Hara that we find ourselves in the Mishkan. The Mishkan is a place that we come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But don't think that in that place you're scot-free, that it's clean and clear. There are also threats there. And what is the challenge in that? To become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through means other than Torah and mitzvot. Shagam zeh tshuka afagav shehila sig avas Hashem b'kedusha, even though this desire is to become close to Hashem through kedusha, through sanctity, mikol makom im hilo b'derech she'ala al ritzono yibarach, eino ela Derech Yetzer Hara la tosulit os das gdol Yisrael b'zu atshuka. If it nevertheless, if it's a way that's not the intentions of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's not good. It's the Yetzer Hara who is coming to mix you up, cause you to stumble, and to mix up the das, the intentions, the thought process of gdol Yisrael with this desire. Though yes, this desire might come from a good purpose, know that it's the Yetzer Hara that's coming to slip, to trip you up. And though a person may deeply desire Kirvas Hashem, he cannot create his own means to get there. According to the Beis Halevi in Parshas Kitisa, this was the mistake that Bnei Yisrael made during Chayde Egel. Fascinating. And he writes, V'inei b'masa ha'egel, Fardivru Rabbim Maru Yisrael Kachavaich Dor Deaka Oso Ador Nechalu Bachik Gadol Kaza. Says like it's a lot of people discuss this. We know that Bnei Yisrael at that time were the Dor Dea. They were enlightened. They were on such a high level. How could such a generation, you know, slip up with such a big sin like this? Vasher Nira Diadua Shabakho Mitzvah Yeshba Ta'amim Vakavan Kavanot Harom Zim Lisodos Nisarim. He says, you know, we know that in every mitzvah, there's deep secrets, hidden secrets, and meanings, and intentions. And when you do the mitzvah, whatever this means, we do all types of tikkunim, we fix things in all the different worlds, it has impacts in the world, and all the different worlds, etc. V'nyan zehu, Devekshu Yisrael az acharei shara'u de Moshe asher haya omed bein Hashem ubeinam lo ba ratu lasot makom yuchad sheyeh mesugal asher bo yiyah hashras shechinato. Right? What happened? They saw that Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the intermediary, he was the person that was between them and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he wasn't coming back. So what did they want? They wanted a place that was going to be special for the hashras shechina, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to rest his divine presence. Which is exactly what happened in the end, which was the Mishkan, that was the purpose of the Mishkan. But they knew the Nistarim, they had insider knowledge into the quote unquote hidden things, and they wanted to understand what they should do. Va'od lo samchu al chachmas atzmam, va'al kenachu al Aaron haKohen shaya gadol mihem, v'hu yada omek hadvarim b'sodoseihem yoter mikulam. Not only that, they didn't just do it on their own. They understood the Nistar, but they went to Aaron, who knew even better than them, who knew deeper than them. And they asked him, what to do. They said, "Kum aseilanu v'chulei." V'akavana sheyeh makom yuchal lashras shkina. V'nimtza machshavatam shal Yisrael ha'ita b'zeh l'tova yishizizku al-yidei malachtam zu lashras shkina etzlam. And we see that their thought process, the intentions of Bnei Yisrael, Achede Ego, were really good. What did they want? They wanted through their actions, through their work, to have a place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could reside his Shechina by them. Amnam ta'uba zeh ta'ut. But here's where they went wrong. Here's where they made a mistake. Shehu rak im oso emaset tziv salan ha-Torah la-asoto. The only way such an action can be good is if what? If it's commanded by the Torah. She'im yaseh adam ezo maseh shelo netzava Allah v'Torah rak midas atzmo azo so maseh eno mo'il klum. If you do something that's not commanded from the Torah, but it's from your own thought, from your own ideas, it doesn't do anything. Because you did an action doesn't mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring his Shechina. V'ikara tikunim b'kol ha'masim hu ma she'oseh ritzon bar'o. What is the ikar, the essential tikkun, the quote-unquote fixing, the things that we really can bring about change into this world? It's only through doing the raton of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ubalai hachi. Hold on one second. Let me just finish the Beis Halevi. Let me just, and then I'll answer your questions. Ein amrak tachbulos enoshi v'kolas tachmos lo yo'ilu mu'uma ki mi amar lo matif al v'adra ba'od l'chik gadol yachshav v'im kein nechshalu b'mas seyem v'yitim mimeno ha'egal. He said, otherwise, it's just, ideas of man, but they're not bringing about the real change and the real results. Because Hashem didn't tell them that this will bring about that. And not only that, it's considered a great sin. And they were nichshal, and therefore what happens? We have the Cheira Egel. Okay, I'll take a pause. Questions?
Okay. It's very confusing because sometimes you see the Torah, who killed Chazbi and Zibri? I forgot that. And Pinchas, right? And this was a zealousness, wasn't commanded.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that you have to follow everything black and white, but it means it has to be within the framework. Within the framework, you could take... That is part of that. What I'm saying is that within the commandments, you can take on things. You know what I'm saying? But like, you can't decide that I want to be so from, I'm going to add five cornered garments I'm going to add, and that's going to, be extra. But within the framework of halacha, you can take upon yourselves chumras, whereas, let's say, certain things are okay, and let's say some people say you could use, let's say, a Shabbos clock, right? But there are other opinions who say it's not so good, and you decide, no, I want to be extra machmir, I'm not going to do that. That's great. That's within the framework of Torah, and I'm sure, as the shir goes on, we can think of other examples, but that's, again, within the framework. You're not adding something new. You're not saying, I'm going to have a lulav, and I'm going to have an esrog, and I'm going to... this is a new thing. They had, I can't remember what it was, but a few years ago, a women's group decided that they wanted to add something new to the Seder plate to represent the women. I can't remember what it was, but there was a whole write-up about it. No, it was something extra to the Seder plate, not just the karpas, the chazeres, the zroa, beta, etc. It was an added thing to represent their struggles. So that's not within the framework. You know what I'm saying? Like, it has to be something that's within the framework. If you want to go and spend 3 hours a day saying Tehillim over the Shachar, Simcha, Marav, okay, kol hakavod, you could do that. You know what I'm saying? That's adding, but that's adding within a way that's within the framework. But to add something that's not in the framework or that's specifically not commanded, only, especially with the 250 people, only the sons of Aaron were allowed to bring the Ketoros. This was clear that this was not what was set for them. And so therefore, even though their intentions were good, it brought about a bad result, and it was negative. Similarly with the Chayda Egel. Question.
Yes.
You had the same question? Right. So, but also you have to.
Hashem is very clear. Moshe was very clear.
You have to also.
And they were the generation that was listening from the mouth of Hashem.
Right.
And they were there, and you're saying they were tzaddikim. So I'm not sure. I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm not saying that I'm on any level.
No. I hear you. It's easier a little bit as a step.
And I'm not such a great person, but I wouldn't look for extra things. And when I see women who need the extra things, I think the same question applies.
If you feel bad for them.
You clearly state that it's not Al Pi Hashem. You can't
avoid right.
it because there is dissenting opinions. About
right.
it, and
100%.
Respect.
Right. As long as they're valid dissenting, you know, not
100%.
It's 100%. Obviously, it has to be everything has to be within the framework of halacha, you know, who you decide who's appropriate in that framework of halacha. But so what I hear what you're saying, but I also, to maybe elucidate that a little bit more, you have to also understand the generation, that they were the generation that saw God. They had this palatable thing, Zekei Livan Veyo, and all of a sudden, they're being restricted because you have to also realize that, like, at other times in history, Bnei Yisrael were able to bring karbanos on bamos. And that, sometimes the action, you know, even though it's not necessarily greater in the connection to God, it makes the person feel more connected. And again, sometimes, we say this, people do, you know, not even in Judaism, but like in the world, people do dumb things for love, in the name of love. How many people out there have done crazy things? I'm sure stories in the news and all the time that... That's what you're saying is a very logical, rational approach, and you're right. But when you're overcome with emotion, you're not being rational. You're being emotional. So that's
like a terrorist cult. That's what you're saying. It's a radicalized.
It's I don't want to say it a cult, but it's a strong.
Had a lack of it. Very smart. You see, a lot of times we say educate them, give them an education. People who make these mistakes, but here.
Well, I think I think that you're right for our generation, and I think that my biggest thing when I see those other people who are looking for other things, I say so chaval, you know, because those people are not taught the beauty of being a Jewish woman and how many special things we have that they have to go look for other things to make themselves like men. And then I say they need to be educated. But in this case, I hear what you're saying. It's not about the education. It's the passion and the emotion and the desire. Like, I don't even think we can relate to this, unfortunately. I was thinking when I was preparing this shiur, like, wow. You know, look at Nazav and Avihu. Look at the 250 people. Have I ever in my life, I hope, maybe one day I'll have had this Yetzer Hara that I'm so overcome with a desire to become close with a Kadosh Baruch Hu that I have to hold myself back from losing myself in terms of doing more than Hashem commands me? You know, it's something that, you know, we can't even almost, unfortunately, relate to. No, I think the later generation we can relate to, and therefore we say educate them. But here, it's just this very strong emotion. And sometimes when people are strongly, you know, they feel so strongly about something, you can't speak to them rationally. Right. But I think that you see it a lot, possibly I could suggest you see it a lot here because, you know, for someone to say, I really want something, but they've never had it, like I could say, oh, I'm chalishing for like, I don't know, a piece of treif, but like, am I really? Like, I've never even tasted it. I don't know what I'm missing. You know what I'm saying? But this generation, they knew what they were missing. They saw Yad Hashem. Even a maidservant at Kriyas Yamsa said, Zeh keli v'anvehu. They knew what it was like to be so close to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and all of a sudden they feel like I'm being limited. That's what I'm saying.
They saw that, yes. But, you know, so, even if you saw it today, which we all daven for, you didn't have the trick. So they really...
No, I was comparing this to, you know, for me to say, you know, I really want something, but I never experienced it. They knew what they were experiencing and now that they were being restricted from. They had that high level of closeness. Then all of a sudden, they have to what they feel like is restricting them in their closeness.
No, so, what I meant was, they came from Mitzrayim, they are at the lowest level. So that's why it's really hard to understand. Because they came from Trey. Let's call it Trey from the Dino, whatever.
But now they know what they, but they had
the closest.
And now they feel like they don't want to go back. They don't want to go back to Mitzrayim. Right. They want to stay there. You know what I'm saying? That's exactly what I'm saying. They don't want to go back. They want to stay there. Okay, let's just continue, and then we'll ask more questions after. Okay, so let's continue with the Beis Halevi. Muvar mizeh shechina egel haya masha asu kol maaseyem meidasa atzman believe mitzvah Hashem v'dvar shenasar lahem. Afa pi shekavanasam hayta lakavein es libam machshavtam lashchina hashura b'tocho yatzah mizeh chet haegel shesovlim mimenu ad hayom. So therefore, what was the sin in Chet HaEgel? Was they did something that was not from Sivoy Hashem, that was not permitted to them. And even though their intentions were good, and they want, and their sole purpose was that Hashem should rest his Shechina in them, and that he should become close to them, what happened? We have the Chet HaEgel, Shesovlim Mimeno Ad Hayom. The results were catastrophic, and we're still suffering from those results today. Hashem understood this to be a nisayon for Bnei Israel. It's therefore at Matan Torah that he warned them no less than 3 times not to go up on Har Sinai, not even to touch it. In fact, Hashem reminded them again after Har Sinai was already smoking because Hashem had descended upon it in a fire, where it would seem unnatural for a person to want to come close to such a fire. Rav Simcha Zissel Brody, the Rosh Hashiva of Chevron, explains that Hashem understood their deep desire to achieve a higher level of closeness and continuously come closer and closer. With such strong feelings, one warning is simply not enough. Therefore, he gave them 3 different warnings. In fact, Hashem even sent Moshe down to ensure this. He says, Vayomar Hashem Moshe, Reid Ha'ed Ba'am, Pen Yarsu El Hashem l'ros v'nafal mimen arav. Descend! Warn the people lest they break through to see Hashem and a multitude of them will fail. Hashem understood that strong emotional desires can overcome a person and therefore he repeatedly warns Bnei Yisrael to stay within the framework. The framework is set and clear. We start with the halacha, the learning of the Ramah, the Mishnah Brura, and then as we continue along our journey and master each stage, we can go deeper and deeper into the pardes, the orchard, which represents the hidden levels of the Torah, the pshat, the remez, the drash, and sod. But it's a process. The pasuk tells us in Bamidbar, "V'hazar hayikarev yumas," that when a stranger enters the Mishkan, he's punished, that such a person can't come close. And Rav Avram Shur explains, what is a zar? What does it mean, a stranger? So literally, we understand that, you know, a Yisrael can't go into the part that the Levim can, and then a Levi can't just go into the Kodesh HaKodesh. And there are levels, there are stages of how far you can go. But Rav Avram Shur explains, what's a zar, a stranger? Someone who learns Zion, the Zohar, before the Resh, the Ramah. Someone who looks for the depth, without first learning and following the halacha, the protocol and the framework that Hashem gave us, which is, you know, very culturally popular now. Everyone's going, you know, to learn Kabbalah. You don't even have to be Jewish at all, or maybe you are Jewish, but you're learning Kabbalah, but you're not keeping basic Torah and mitzvot, and that is very dangerous. We have a beautiful roadmap that Hashem gave us to achieve closeness. We have to remember that although there may be other ways which make us feel connected or perhaps more spiritual, they must be within the framework of Torah and mitzvot. It's also important to recognize that if we desire to come close in ways that don't fit into halacha, it's as the Netziv said, it's the Yetzer Hara, and the results are disastrous, like with the Chet HaEgel, like with the 250 men, and like the story of Nadav and Avihu. So I think we all need to take concrete steps through careful observance of Torah and mitzvos, and then may we merit a real close and intimate relationship with the King of Kings, with the Master of the Universe, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu.